This evening we open up verses 11 and 12 of 3 John. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. We have seen over the last 3 weeks that John, in this epistle, assesses three men in the church in relation to truth: Gaius, Diotrephes, and now Demetrius. As he's done that, he's stated facts. He holds two of these men forward for our example, positive example, and one for our negative example, but he doesn't give commands. He gives facts. He states the matter indicatively and factually. And only verse 11 in the epistle contains commands. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. But you have to understand the significance, the importance of this verse in the entire epistle. First of all, it's a transition between that bad man whom Gaius must know about, Diotrephes, and whom he must not be like, and of whom he must beware, and this good man, Demetrius, of whom Gaius must also know, and whom he must be like. It serves a transition. That which is evil refers generally to any evil, and specifically to Diotrephes. That which is good refers generally to any good, but specifically to Demetrius. And therefore, in the second place, this one admonition in the entire epistle and coming near the end of the epistle drives home the practical point of the Holy Spirit in the entire epistle. He's not just looking at men and saying, oh, there's a man, I'll tell you about him, maybe the way you would have done to me or so when I came and visited and you said, I'm going to help you get to know the people of the church. I'll talk about this person and I'll say these things. I'll talk about that person and I'll say these things. That's not all that John is doing. He is laying forth for Gaius and the Holy Spirit for you and for me that one of these men must be followed. The word is imitated, mimicked, and another one must not be. And that's, again, the practical purpose of the whole epistle. There are many men in the church. We've looked at, and we'll now look at the third. We've looked at two, and we'll look at the third. Do not be just like anyone because he or she is in the church, but be godly and follow the godly. Our focus now is on that third man, Demetrius. Gaius walked in truth, and Gaius was a fellow helper to truth, with regard to truth. Diotrephes opposed truth. Now what's said about Demetrius is striking, even very unusual. He hath a good report of all men. That's not so unusual, but he hath a good report of the truth itself. And in that way, this man is assessed in relation to truth. Truth gives a good testimony of Demetrius. Practically, then, anyone of whom truth gives a good testimony is one whom you may also speak well of and associate with and love and serve in the body of Jesus Christ. So I call your attention to this evening, under the theme, Demetrius, well testified by truth. Number one, notice his spiritual identity. Secondly, his character witnesses. And third, his mimicable example. Who is Demetrius? We're going to notice his spiritual identity, but before getting at that, can say some things about his earthly identity, and yet there's very little we know. Who he is exactly, again, just as was true of Gaius and of Diotrephes, we can't say. There's only one other Demetrius mentioned in the Bible. And that was a silversmith in Ephesus who hated the Apostle Paul. When Paul and Luke came and Silas preaching the gospel, because if people believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, they would no longer buy the silver shrines that Demetrius made. Now, interestingly, that man was in Ephesus, and much of John's labors are in the area of Ephesus in Asia Minor. It would be a beautiful thing then if one day in heaven we see this Demetrius and learn this was that same, but we do not know that, and I will not be asserting that tonight. We simply conclude we do not know who this Demetrius is. The Greek name ascribed to him also suggests, as was true of Diotrephes, that he was perhaps born and raised in paganism. For the name means follower of Demeter, and Demeter is the Greek goddess of agriculture and of the harvest. So one thing is sure, whatever was his background, probably paganism and unbelief, he has been brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that's as much as we know about the man in his earthly identity. But that we don't know much actually strengthens the example he's going to set for us. Because it reminds us that there's nothing about the man's personality, there's nothing about the specific gifts the man has. It's all a matter of the man's love for the church of Jesus Christ and love for truth that stands on the foreground. There is the example he sets. It must be that Gaius did not know Demetrius, that John is introducing Gaius to Demetrius. John had known of Diotrephes. Rather, Gaius had known of Diotrephes. He had known of the trouble that Diotrephes was causing in the church, but he must not have known of Demetrius. And so John presents him here in this passage as a churchman of whom Gaius must know and whom Gaius can trust. And that's why, presently, we'll see that John gives three character witnesses of this Demetrius. But as to his spiritual identity now, three things can be said. Number one, he was a godly man. Evidence? John and truth and all men give a good report of him. That first. Secondly, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And then John wants to impress on Gaius that Demetrius hath good report. He was a godly man. He was morally godly. The law of God mattered to him. And you and I are reminded of a point that I've made again and again in the weeks I've been here, that there are many men in the church. Some not to be followed because though they are in the church, it's apparent they are not godly or care very little for truth, but others to be followed because they are faithful and godly men. And God be praised that as he gathers, defends, and preserves his church, he always gives to a body of true believers godly men and women, for that matter, whose example and godliness can be imitated. He was, first of all, a godly man. In the second place, as a godly man, again, I'm going to bring in the idea of the antithesis. As a godly man, he hated evil. It is not enough to be godly in some general sense or just some positive sense, but ignore sin. Say nothing about sin. It isn't enough to be godly, but say nothing about the lie when the lie is taught. Demetrius is a morally godly man who is different from Diotrephes. That's the example he sets for you and for me again. That if there be in the church those who do not love truth and oppose it and will not live a godly life, they not get a following from us who sit in the pew. But when there be those who in distinction from the ungodly witness to truth and love truth and live according to truth, they be the ones we follow. Now, why press the point? Because it's part of human nature for me, and therefore for you, to say of certain men in the church, well, that one is perhaps wealthy. That one perhaps has some other prestige or position or influence that can be of advantage to me. And I will overlook his faults. I will not look at his moral character, but I will simply look at what do I get out of knowing that man and associating with him, and that may lead me to say, moral, that's not the issue. I'm going to follow that man. And the apostle is driving home the point that we're to follow the Demetriuses and not the Diotrephes. Our young people, whose attention do you seek? Who do you want to be most like? And why do you want to be most like them? What is it that you imagine you will get from being like them? What's being impressed on us here is the godliness of Diotrephes, such that of Demetrius, such that he hated evil, to remind you and me that good is to be followed and not evil. In the third place, the fundamental explanation of Diotrephes' spiritual identity is found in verse 11. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. To be of God is to be out of God, is to find one's source or origins in God. And therefore, what explains Diotrephes' goodness and the goodness of any man in the church is nothing inherent in ourselves, men, descended from Adam and Eve, sharing the corruption of the human nature. There can be no good in us, but this man was begotten again of God. He is of God. He is regenerated. He has the new life of Jesus Christ in him. And he has the hope that proceeds from that life, lives out of the faith that is a part of that life, and therefore hath seen God. If John says, he that doeth evil hath not seen God, he means to imply that he that does good has seen God. How has Demetrius seen God? Well, he came to the Word of God. He came to the revelation of God. And he saw God with eyes of faith. He saw God spiritually, as you and I behold him in the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ and in the Gospel again and again. And what he saw about God was his glory, and that this God was the greatest good, and that there was none greater. Indeed, he himself would follow good. He himself would follow God. That says something about the efficacy of the death of Jesus Christ for Demetrius, and then for you and for me. As was true of all of us, he needed his Lord and Savior to come into the flesh. Remember, that's an inherent part of the truth of which John is speaking, that Christ came in the flesh. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ to take his own sins and sinfulness upon himself, to go to the death of the cross and bear the accursed wrath of God for his sin. He needed that as much as do you and I. Only that death of Jesus Christ, completely atoning for sin, the sins of all God's people, could earn the right for this man to be born anew, and for you and for me again to be born anew and enjoy the favor of God and life eternal. That's what we know about Demetrius. It's all Gaius knew too, apparently. And therefore, John gives character witnesses so that when Gaius actually meets Demetrius, he need have no fear and no hesitation about the man. And that's really the heart of the whole text, especially in verse 12. Demetrius has good report of all men, the character witness that John is giving of him. The word translated "hath good report" literally means "is testified of by." The apostle is speaking of those who bear witness to Demetrius. Not in a courtroom, not in official time of investigation, but those who speak about him, as we've heard, that people have spoken about Gaius, and John heard, and John told Gaius what he heard. So also people are speaking about Demetrius, and what they say is good. Hath good report, says the King James Version. And the word good is not actually in the original. If you find the New King James Version, puts that word good in italics, which the King James did not do. To indicate that point, the word good is not actually found in the original, but is clearly the idea, so that I'm not suggesting the King James in any way has misled, is clearly the idea. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good, we just heard. And then the report that others give of Demetrius is a good report. Now it's interesting and striking that John must give character witnesses to Gaius of this man whom Gaius does not know. Because what we've learned about Gaius in the first 8 verses of the epistle is that he would willingly receive into his house strangers, as well as others who came preaching the gospel. The man was apparently ready to give a good assumption about a stranger who came to him until the person proved himself unworthy of Gaius's trust. He had Gaius's trust at the outset. And that makes it striking that the Apostle John is going to spend time giving character witnesses of Demetrius to Gaius. But he does so for at least 2 reasons. Number one, that there may absolutely be no doubt in Gaius's mind. And number two, now I'm going to give what is, again, an inference. We're not told exactly, and I hesitate to give inferences when I can't say the Bible says it this way. We have to ask the question, why is Demetrius being introduced to Gaius? And the answer must be not only that Gaius will one day meet him, but here's the inference, that Demetrius is sent of John to address Diotrephes before John can get there. That's an inference. That's a matter which we could discuss and maybe have a different opinion about. But if that's true, then certainly the apostle must give character witnesses of this man whom Gaius does not know. It would be like you receiving a new minister from the States, perhaps a man you'd never met before, and saying, well, I know he was trained for the ministry. I know someone, and more than one man, vetted him somehow, but he's going to stand in our pulpit and he's going to preach the gospel to us. We want to know something about him. Assure us that he is a man who can serve us well. It'd be something like, to restate the analogy, you being told that there is a man whom you don't know, you'd never met before, who's going to be another elder or deacon in your church. And you say, that's not always the way we do it. How do you know this man will serve us well? That's the sort of purpose behind John introducing Demetrius to Gaius. And especially if this man must take on Diotrephes, an evil man who has influence and power in the church on earth. Gaius wants to know that he could put his trust in him. If there's one qualification of office bearers that this underscores, it is that found in 1 Timothy 3, that even the office bearers have a good report of them that are without. They may not be men of whom an evil report can be raised. And so John brings forth three character witnesses of this Demetrius. First of all men. Demetrius hath good report of all men. This means that Demetrius' character is widely attested. But we have this term, all men. And it's not now in the context of the question, for whom did Christ die? But it's the same term, and the same questions arise. Is the apostle here saying that every single man over the length and breadth of the earth knows of this Demetrius and will give a good report of this Demetrius? He certainly isn't saying that. What he's saying is that many people, and many in perhaps a wide area, know of him. And while many know of him, not one will come forward to bring forth a evil report. And so the wide attestation to Demetrius' good character on the basis of this word all reminds us that the word all here and elsewhere in Scripture too does not mean every man head for head. And that when we read that our Lord died for all, that also means he died for many, and for many over the length and breadth of the earth, but does not mean each and every. Of all men, Demetrius's good character is widely attested. And of the truth itself, that's second. And it's at this point that we come into contact again with that concept that governs the whole epistle, truth. What John is saying now about Demetrius' good character is that it is genuinely attested. It can happen that many men and women from near and far give a good report about a man, but in the end you find about this man or this woman that there is an underlying sin, a besetting sin, maybe a lurking sin, which when exposed makes that good report that others had given of him really mean nothing. It was a good report, but it was ill-informed. It was not genuine. And what the apostle is saying now to Gaius is that the character witnesses he can give of Demetrius not only are wide, but are genuine. He has a good report of the truth itself. Let's stop a moment. What do you know about truth? And the concept, as the apostle has used it again and again in the epistle. And after the review, the question, how is he using it here? Go back to Sermon 1. Truth refers to the objective, unchanging revelation of God, as he gives it in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, and also in the Scriptures. Secondly, the very center of truth then, if you say I need to give content to it, is the existence of one only God and his Son, Jesus Christ, come in the flesh so that he can die on the cross in the human body and in the human soul. Number three, what we learned in the first sermon is that truth is antithetical. You don't have, well, you think that's truth, and well, I think this is truth, and the two things contradict each other, but we're going to go around both saying that we've got truth. That doesn't work. If this is true, then that which contradicts it is false. And we've learned the absolute character of truth. And then fourthly, in that first sermon, we learned that truth was a sphere in which one walked. Gaius walked in the light of the revelation of the Word of God. When he went to the second sermon and saw that Gaius was a fellow helper with regard to the truth, we understood truth now, yes, still in the sense of God's revelation, the saving knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. The gospel is at the center of it, but this truth gets preached. People speak of this truth. They bring it near and far. The church does evangelism work. The church does mission work. And so you and I, as part of the body of Jesus Christ, assist and support those who are called to preach the truth, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. In the third sermon, the sermon on Diotrephes, truth wasn't mentioned in the text. But what we saw is that an ungodly man, a man who seeks himself, opposes truth. And he does it in very concrete ways. He does it especially in this way, by saying the truth that Jesus Christ is the head and Lord of the church and that Jesus Christ is preeminent isn't truth. Don't believe it. Just follow me. Do what I want. In that sense, he opposed truth. So if that is our review of truth, what does it mean in the text that Demetrius has good report of the truth itself? And the best way to understand that is to stick with the central idea of truth in this text, in this epistle, that it refers to the revelation of God and the word that Jesus Christ himself speaks. In light of all the scriptures, if you are to evaluate Demetrius, you will find the scripture testifies well of him. That is to say, he lives according to the scriptures. And then truth, with a capital T, he who is the way and the truth and the life, bears witness, does Jesus Christ, to this Demetrius that he is a godly man. That's what I make of the phrase and of the truth itself. Now, how does Jesus Christ bear witness that way? It isn't that Jesus Christ comes down and stands before us bodily from the right hand of God and he appears in the church and he says, listen to that man, he's telling you the truth. But it's a matter of the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit testifying to our hearts and consciences and understanding as we evaluate a man, a person in the church in relation to the word of God, and see that they love the word and live according to the word. And the point of John is, the testimony of many about Gaius is not just a wide attestation, but a genuine attestation as anyone who knows the man can see and discern. In the third place, he hath good report. We also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So John and those who are present with him. John bears witness as one whom Gaius knows and whom Gaius trusts. The witness of John to Demetrius' good character does not trump the witness of truth. No, the witness of Jesus Christ is primary. The witness of John is secondary. But it assures Gaius that the inspired John, the godly John, will also lend his testimony to the testimony of all men, and that of Jesus Christ. Three character witnesses to Demetrius. Now, see that three witnesses makes this witness the more credible. There are not one witness or two witnesses, but three. Remember that Old Testament passage, Deuteronomy 19:15, that in a situation of judgment, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And that's what John is doing here, following that principle and saying, Gaius, you may be so sure. And not only that, but John doesn't just give three individual witnesses, but he gives three categories of witnesses, all men and truth itself and I and we, those who are with me and to know him. He means to underscore to Gaius that this witness is not recent. When he says, hath good report, he expresses that in a way that shows that this good report has been given for some time now. It isn't just recent, and it's continued up to the very present. There is a united witness of many believers about this man. There's a lesson for you and for me. Two of them. When you hear of one you don't know, or about to meet one you don't know, but others know of them, and the others are godly believers, and they give a good testimony, then receive the brother or sister whom you don't know into your fellowship. And the second, Demetrius was still but a man. He had his personality quirks, his besetting sins, his character weaknesses. And those are not what mattered. He hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And so, though Gaius hadn't yet met him, this Demetrius would set an example for Gaius to follow, that is, to mimic. I come back to the admonition of verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. I'm going to explain that admonition just a little more. The word for evil, or the idea of evil, and the idea of good, both have two different Greek words that can be used to convey the idea. There's a word that refers to moral good and a word that refers to moral evil. And then there's a word that refers not so much to moral good or evil, but to good in the sense of fitting and appropriate and useful, like your car is a good car. It's never a morally good car, but it's a good car if it gets you from point A to point B. When the Holy Spirit says, follow that which is good, he uses the word for moral goodness. When he says, follow not that which is evil, he does not use the word for moral evil. He uses the word that refers to that which is not becoming or suitable or appropriate to the Christian. And this strengthens the admonition of the text. It's more than just saying, well, look at people who are ungodly and don't be like them, and look for people who are godly and be like them. But is there somebody who, though maybe not outwardly ungodly, still takes the Christian life just a little more loosely? Not quite as seriously? We're reminded that we are to follow those who adorn the gospel with their godly life and their conversation. And so therein is the question. It's not just does he or she walk in sin, but does he or she positively and with his or her heart give himself over to the service of God? Follow that which is good morally, not that which, not even that which is unseemly or not fitting. So this is a general principle. And while in the epistle it gets a very practical application to Demetrius and Diotrephes, the general principle has to be enforced on you and me, and you and I have to remember that general principle for the rest of our life and every day in the week ahead. Follow godly men in the church. Not the richest, not the most influential, but those who love God. And why would I follow a man? Even the godly men, why would I follow them? Why would I mimic and do what they do? because their godliness shows that they are following Christ. And that's the calling that comes to us now. Follow that which is good. We can say, well, Demetrius. But let's not forget the example our Lord and Savior set in all the times he walked on the face of the earth. And even the example he sets now at the right hand of God as he works graces in the Church of Jesus Christ and every one of us to bring us to heaven there to dwell with him. How do we follow that example? Very simply this. Make your relationship with your Lord and Savior your first priority. I say you, but I must include myself. Let us make our relationship with our Lord and Savior our first priority. Study the Scriptures and His Word and Revelation to understand how He would have us live and what we should believe. And then, having done that, love the Church of Jesus Christ and each and every member, not for what we can get out of it and how it will benefit us, but because it's the body of Jesus Christ and we love Him. This you and I can do, for we too are of God, have been born of God. And we too have seen God. And we too have been given in the Scriptures the revelation of God. Do you understand why following this example and adhering to this principle is so urgently necessary today? It always was. Because of the sinful nature that still cleaves to you and to me, that might attract us to one who sins. But even more, because we're talking about men in the church, not just men in the world, not just those who don't profess faith in godliness, but those who say, I'm a Christian. And you and I have to ask ourselves, are they living like one? And am I to be like them or not? And furthermore, it is so urgent because in this last day, there are and will be all the more those Diotrepheses who seek only themselves and would have you and me follow them. Question finally then is, what influences do you follow in your life? To whom do you look as a model and an example? Everyone who's born of God may be followed. Following him who follows Christ, you will see God. Following those who give no evidence of having been born of God, neither will you see God. And so the blessing and the benefit that's graciously bestowed on us by our Lord Jesus Christ to those who see God and follow that which is good is very simply this, that our life being over, and we perhaps having suffered for his name's sake, for following that which is good and not evil, will then behold him to all eternity as he reveals himself in Jesus Christ and his glory, and we shall be filled and shall be delighted and shall be satisfied, shall worship and praise him forever. May God give us, young and old, to follow that which is good. Amen. Father, which art in heaven, to the glory of thy name, cause the words spoken to be received in our hearts and in our lives. Be food for our souls and an encouragement on our pilgrimage journey. Now receive our closing songs and adorations as a genuine worship of Thee and an expression of our own love for Thy word and for truth. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.